Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's the Friday Steve Jones Show.
On this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Some hosts like to let the theme play out a little bit before they start. That's usually a normal radio way of doing things, way I was taught.
I come from a different era, I guess. I don't know.
It comes from an era where actually radio was great. All right, as opposed to let's just run right into it because we're desperate. All right.
I was going to say excited.
No. I'm always excited to work every day, but then again, I work every day. What are you doing next week?
I got a lot of stuff going on next week.
Yeah, you're not working. All right, so
I didn't say it was related to you. By the way, exactly right. I got one quick traffic update. We do have an accident reported. The southbound route, ramp to Route 147 in Milton is closed, and we're now told that Route 147 is also closed in both directions. Two motorcycles involved in that accident is what we're told, and we are told that Life Flight is en route.
Okay.
And it looks like, actually, I'm going to actually just getting word now that it looks like it might be a possible hit and run.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll piece that together as time goes. The Steelers will start training camp coming up tomorrow and really kick it into gear Sunday in Latrobe. They'll play the opener in the Hall of Fame game, which will be August 9th against the Vikings at Fawcett Stadium in Canton as part of Hall of Fame weekend. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, will talk about the Steelers training camp and some things going into that camp. In the next half hour, we'll also talk about the Pirates and their acquisition of Aramis Ramirez, which is a rock-solid acquisition that makes complete sense at this time of the year. It's the kind of acquisition you make when you're trying to plug a hole here and there, especially because of injury. He's going to retire at the end of the year anyway, so you're not going to owe him any money. So he's having a really good month of July. Coming up on next week, Adam Rittenberg is going to join us. He broke the story on Braxton Miller going to wide receiver. Well, he didn't break it. I mean, to be frank with you, we actually broke it. We talked about this 3 weeks ago, actually. I know it's almost been a I kind of laughed when I saw it. I said, well, we talked about this for an entire show 3 weeks ago. You wouldn't remember. You weren't here.
I was going to say, I didn't remember that.
Yep. You were on vacation that week. It was Kyle and me that day. We did it. And I was talking about why he would move to wide receiver. And the reason he would, I said 3 weeks ago he would move, is because, look, you have a logjam at quarterback. This injury is not simple. This injury, certain injuries just take longer. And this is the second one he's had, the labrum. It takes 2 years. He was not going to be able to play quarterback effectively this year. Also, you have to, and as I pointed out that day when you were lounging somewhere, that that what Joe Paterno's philosophy was about a player was that he wanted by their senior year to put them in a position that would give them the best shot at the next level. And Braxton Miller, Kevin, was not going to be an NFL quarterback. Not going to be an NFL quarterback. He brings some incredible incredible skill sets to the table as a college quarterback, does not translate to the NFL. Doing this gives him a better shot at making the pros. See, Adam Rittenberg from...
No, I was just going to ask... I was just going to ask, how difficult of an adjustment is this to go from quarterback to wide receiver? I would think that this is probably one of the easier position changes to make.
Well, to a point, because there's also an H-back. It's also part H-back that he's going to be playing. I think the two guys that he would really want to hang with would be Jalen Marshall and Wilson, because they've played it in each of the last 2 years. As to, you know, it's easy in that as the quarterback, he knows the routes. Okay, that's the easy part, because as the quarterback, he already knows the routes. Where are they supposed to be? Now it's just a question of him being precise with those routes. And that's the part a lot of people don't realize. There's a couple things you have to do at wideout now, a little bit different than, say, it was 30 years ago. You have to be able to read the same thing the quarterback reads. There are a lot of option routes out there. And you have to read the corner as to where they're positioned, or the safety where they're positioned. And you as a receiver, just like a quarterback, can't get fooled by a false pre-read. Can't. And that's where the difficulty comes in for players trying to make that transition to wideout. Same thing with H-back. Plus, there's the blocking part. You're going to have to block on certain plays. If you're out there playing wideout or H-back, and they give the ball to Elliott, you better block.
See, I was thinking the two hardest things for him would be learning to block and block effectively, and learning to make that little jab step or the cut and make it cleanly to get open. I would think that those would be the two hardest things to get adjusted to.
That part's easy, especially for him. His entire how he plays quarterbacks about jab steps. I mean, excellent cutter. You know, you just can't round routes. But it's actually more difficult to read. You got to be able to read and not be lazy. So many receivers are so lazy the way they run routes. Oh, my goodness. Rounding routes. Do you know how easy you are to cover when you round routes? Let me give you a good example. All right. In the blue-white game, people blew up left and right about the interception Christian Hackenberg threw. Say, look, there it is. There's another interception. There it is. We haven't seen any change. Well, no offense, but that's not why Christian Hackenberg threw the interception. The receiver on the play runs a lousy route. And we said it as soon as the play happened, because we could both see it. Jack and I both saw it. Right? And Jack goes, oh, what a lousy route that is. And I said, yeah, he rounded it off and he ran it short. But the quarterback gets the interception. Okay? Lousy, lazy routes lead to more interceptions than what the quarterbacks do. I remember one day in practice a few years ago, I was watching a kid who was a freshman wide receiver. He did not, by the way, end up being, he played 1 year at wideout and then was converted to another spot. And I'm watching him, and he had to run it up, out, and up. Okay? So he ran it out and up. That's what he had to run. He rounded the out, rounded the up, and the safety ran a straight line. The result was an interception. It was not the quarterback's fault. The safety never had to change direction. Now standing in the end zone watching this. See, you want to know why Le'Veon Bell is a great receiver? Le'Veon Bell runs routes like a really good wideout does. and he has a linebacker on him. Crisp cuts, sharp cuts, precise, right depth. He is virtually impossible to cover out of the backfield. We'll have Adam Rittenberg, who broke the story on ESPN.com, joining us next week on the show. David Jones, Patriot News, next week on the show. Greg Pickle, Patriot News, next week on the show. Greg Brown, Pirate Broadcaster, next week on the show. And then we'll go to Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror, who will be at Big Ten Media Days. He'll join us Friday next week on the show. Coming up today, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And also, Jack Ham will join us in at 4:06. Here's the Kevin memo.
By the way, one of the other things that drives me nuts about wide receivers is why are wide receivers that telegraph the play by the way they run their quote-unquote route? A guy that actually is just going up to block you can actually make it look like he's actually going out for a pass as well. But I see so many receivers just walk up slowly, just kind of put a half block on, because they're usually on the backside of the play.
Okay, but no offense, but that's irrelevant.
It is until that guy makes the play in one form or another. What if what if the running back cuts back the other way?
9.9 times out of 10, they don't cut back the
They don't, but my point is, why take a play off? I hate that. All right, just move on. You disagree. That's fine.
It's 35 yards away from the play. I don't really care what happens over 35 yards away. I'm not watching that part. The Kevin memo. Wes Welker wants to play after three concussions. Should he be allowed to play? Well, he clears the physical. Yeah, I don't do. Clears the physical. If he doesn't clear a physical, then no. Yeah, okay, check. That one's done. Let's see, Braxton Miller.
I think it's a little more complicated than that, but.
What if he passes a physical and the team lets him play? If the team doesn't want him, they're not going to sign him.
Well, should the team want him to play? Does the team want him to play? I mean, should he play? Should the doctors clear him to play? How many concussions is too many?
Should a doctor score? Okay, that's up to the doctor, okay, who's a medical professional, okay? If they clear you to play, you're cleared to play. Okay, it's not a coach saying, yeah, he's okay, put him in there.
I know it's not.
I talked to him, he seems good. Okay, if a medical professional clears you to play, you're cleared to play. Okay, now, do I want to sign him? Not really. And it has nothing to do with that. I think he's past his prime in the game. I don't really think he's going to help you that much as a player anymore. I think that, unfortunately for him, he's hit the downside of his career, and I think that, he's unsigned right now, right?
Well, but after three concussions, there's two things.
He's unsigned right now, right?
I don't know what his contract status is at the moment.
Well, if he's cleared to play, he's cleared to play.
But
at that point...
As a team, as a coach, as an owner, I don't know if I want to sign a guy that's had three concussions that closely together, which tells me that he's susceptible to concussion, which also tells me that I'm probably not going to get a full season from him.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's down on the downside of his career. That's the reason I'm not going to sign him. It has nothing to do with that. If he's cleared to play, he's cleared to play. At that point, then you sit down in contract negotiations if you think you need him, and you say, okay, you've had three concussions. We're worried about this, this, and this. So you put clauses in the contract. But I'm not going to sign him because I think he's on the downside of his career. I mean, if you're cleared to play by say you get a second opinion, if you get two opinions that match up that he's cleared to play, then at that point, the point's moot. It's up to him as to whether he wants to take the risk. I mean, you can go out there next week, right? And in practice, some idiot does something and hits Ben Roethlisberger and ends his season. What's the difference?
But as a team owner and a coach, there's more of a, you're not, quite honestly, you're not as much worried about the player's risk as you are the risk to the team. Here's a guy on your squad now that you have on your roster that may have took a position from somebody else that may not be able to play the entire year. That's what I mean. That's where the risk is. I don't know. I don't care what the risk is for him. That's up to him, and that's his doctor's choice and his family's decision. What I'm saying is, if you're a coach, if you're a team, do you want to take the risk on him?
This isn't Antonio Brown. This is Wes Welker.
I'm trying to. When was the last time he played a full season?
I'm saying, though, I wouldn't sign him because I think he's on the downside of his career.
I understand.
I mean, okay. You're overthinking it. All right.
I've never been accused of that.
If you're a team that needs help at wideout and you think he can help you at wideout because you need help there, that means there are not better alternatives on your roster. That's why you do it. Okay. If you have two different doctors clear him because you want a second opinion and he's cleared, you sign him because you need help there. If you don't need help there, you don't sign him. I'm frustrating. I know. I frustrate you.
Every day.
I'm saying, but it's...
And you're right. He is on the downside of his career. A guy that had only 49 receptions last year. He went from double figures in averaging per catch to not even double figures. Only had 33 yards a game, caught two touchdown passes. And he was never really a guy that's going to give you a ton of points with touchdowns year in and year out. But
oh, wait a minute. This is a fantasy thing here.
Well, there is fantasy. There is a fantasy aspect to it, sure.
Let's take a break. I thought we were actually talking about real football. All right. Okay. That's okay. Now I'm okay. Now the confusion's cleared up.
Okay. If you're a fantasy co-owner, are you going to draft him? No.
Okay. You know what? I saw something today.
Oh, no.
I saw two things today. One was not good for you. The other one was. Uh-huh. Dez Bryant was complaining about his speed number on Madden.
See, and I'm as timely as today's headlines.
I sat there and I thought, how exponentially pathetic is that? It's a game, right? The other one was the Jerome Bettis story.
Yeah, I read that too. I was.
I didn't see that make your cut.
But you know what?
I didn't see that make your cut.
But you know what?
I didn't see that make your cut.
He admitted to a not so stellar early part of his life, but turned it around. So it's a success story.
Oh yeah, what an example! All right, we'll come back.
I mean, all right, I understand he was. You know, he may have sold some crack growing up, and he may have had a gun shot at people, but he turned his life around.
Absolutely. Let's go buy some jerseys. Back with more. Bottom of the hour, then Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Again, this is why. Okay. How many times have I said on the show where I talk about rooting for teams and the guys on the team at the moment? Look, for example, I'm a Steeler fan. I want Le'Veon Bell to go crazy in today's game. Because I want to win the game. The second he's not on the team anymore, I don't worry about it. I go to the next guy and root for him.
He's a role model now. Not Le'Veon Bell.
Who?
Jerome.
Who?
It's how you can turn your life around.
Or you got some kids in Detroit saying, hey, what a coincidence. Sad. Very sad. Hero worship. EA Sports, right? They're like, they claim they're athletes, the people that play this at a high level.
What?
No, I don't agree with that.
What?
You may have a head for the game or a knowledge of the game, but I don't cook now.
Anything you can hit pause on to go get a beverage, you're no athlete.
I have to agree.
Video games. Oh, God.
It's in the game. It's in the game.
Yeah. Four words. I want you to remember these four words for the EA Sports generation. Move more, eat less. All right. Tony DeFazio, next half hour. Jack Ham in the third half hour. And then what should be a bizarre fourth half hour based on the opening half hour.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
The record will be broken. That's right, the 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $16,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket's the place to stock up tonight. My number one choice every time. Imports, domestics, microbrews. They have the best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drinks, water, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, unbelievably terrific. What a selection. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Whining and crying as he handed over today's keys at Sunbury Motors, we bring in Kevin Herb.
It wasn't that bad. It was a little depressing, though, because you have to enjoy driving a mid-sized vehicle that has so many great features like a backup camera and, you know, the tilt telescopic steering wheel, the power seat, lumbar support on the driver's side, and then to know that you could actually own the 2015 Kia Optima Hybrid LX sedan for just $22,800. That's about $300 a month in payments. So if you're upside down in a vehicle and you're looking to get into a new vehicle, not have to worry about maintenance for, 60 months at least, and then not have to worry about the electrical system for 120 months with the hybrid electrical system, and, save a lot of money, at least $50 a month minimum, at the gas pump. You should check out the 2015 Kia Optima Hybrid. And, again, there's only a couple of the test drive models on the lot. They are available. You can own it and be the first owner for about $6,000 off. Plus, there's one 2014 still available with a sale price of $21,357. That's $7,000 off the sticker for these brand new Kia Optima hybrids. Save money on the payments, save money on the sticker, and save money at the gas pump with Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Okay, as of May 31st, 2015, who is number one in the NFL in sales?
Jersey sales, team-wise, or player?
Player.
Tom Brady.
Followed by Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning. Sure, let's suspend him. All right.
I cheated. I actually would not have guessed that, but I did read that earlier this week.
Well, Tom Brady. So there you go. Number one. Numero uno. Yeah, let's suspend him.
Peyton Manning, by the way, would have been my first guess.
He was five. All right. Steelers are about to start training camp. None of their jerseys in the top five.
That's because we worry about the front of the jersey.
Yeah. based on this show. All right. Look at my 43. Look at my 36. Okay, good. Yeah. I didn't know you changed your name to Polamalu.
Used to be Barry Foster.
When did you do that?
At one point, it was Barry Foster.
It's Kevin Foster. It's Kevin Polamalu. Oh, that's not your name? All right. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Always fun to head into the weekend talking about the Steelers, the Pirates, and so forth. Tony, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
How is everybody this Friday afternoon?
Great to be with you, my friend. We're doing very well. Latrobe tomorrow. So here we go. It's going to be this weekend. Well, it's actually, you know, St. Vincent College get rolling. On Sunday they get rolling. So we get our first glimpse. How interested are you, Tony, to see what a Keith Butler defense looks like?
I think that's what the biggest interest is, you know, is to see how that shapes up, to see how much he took from, Dick LeBeau, a guy he coached under for over a decade. He'd be foolish to not take a substantial amount from Dick LeBeau. But at the same time, I think Keith Butler's in that role because it's not going to be the same old Dick LeBeau defense that we've seen. A lot of that, you know, has to do with the personnel, obviously, Steve. And there's a lot of young guys who have really turned that defense over. It really is a new era. And I think that probably the biggest change in this new era is going to be the guy running the defense and the players executing his defense. So I think that's kind of the most exciting thing. And to be honest with you, you know, it may be November before we have a real good idea of exactly what a Keith Butler defense is.
We know corner is going to be obviously one of those areas that will bring with it some interesting moments. But what about that outside linebacker spot with James Harrison, Jarvis Jones, and then Bud Dupree?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. The linebacker squad, I think, as a whole is very interesting. I mean, there's four number one picks, four former number one picks among those linebackers, both inside and outside, and that doesn't include the guy who's had the best career of them all in James Harrison. So, the big question is going to be, can these guys play up to their billing? Can they live up to the hype? And, you know, two guys, Jarvis Jones, the number one pick a year ago, and 2 years ago, and Ryan Shazier, the number one pick last year, had some injury issues to deal with most of last season. So the jury's really out on those guys because we haven't seen them completely healthy. They both had moments where they looked like they were going to be very, very good players, and they both had moments where there was a lot to be desired. Dupree, obviously, we haven't seen yet, but Dupree may offer the most physically tantalizing potential of all of those guys. He's almost a stark contrast to James Harrison, who's got that, relatively speaking, short and stocky build. And Dupree is just a big guy who can move almost as well as Shazier. I say almost as well because Shazier moves like a safety. But I think that's going to be the most interesting thing. I mean, you're going to see Shazier and Lawrence Timmons inside, and then, some sort of random combination of the guys you just mentioned, Dupree, Jones, James Harrison, and potentially even Arthur Motes on the outside as well. Yeah. So to me, that's the most exciting position to watch because there's so much potential there. And it's also going to be one of the most interesting because, that potential word, as you know, has gotten coaches fired, right? So those guys have to live up to it. They have to do what something along the lines of what James Harrison did, who exceeded his potential. And if they can do that, if they can play up to theirs, the defense has a really good chance to be maybe not as good as it once was, but certainly better than last year.
If you're talking about pure skill set, Cortez Allen's pure skill set on the field is actually really, really good. But his season last year was not a very good one. What does he need to do to get his reputation back intact on the field where performance matches skill set?
You know, I think there's possibly two things, not the least of which is certainly health. He was banged up a little bit last year, but I think the biggest thing is all going on inside that helmet, Steve. Mm-hmm. I think that Cortez Allen lost his confidence, and that can spell the end of a career when you play the position he does. You've got to have outstanding confidence, obviously, and you've got to have a short memory to play corner. And, yeah, that skill set is something that the Steelers saw fit to give him a long-term, you know, big-money contract just about a year ago. You know, a little more than one calendar year ago, they gave him a nice big raise, and they sort of anointed him as the cornerback of the future, and it wasn't even 2 months later that he couldn't get himself off the bench and into the lineup. So, like I said, some of that had to do with injury, but I think most of it had to do with confidence. He felt too much pressure to play up to that contract, and after a couple of bad games, it just went downhill from there. And again, obviously, you cannot afford to do that. The team still believes in him. I don't know that they have much choice. They saw it fit to give him that contract. They've got to give him a chance to play up to it. But that leash is probably pretty short, as you can tell by the draft. They brought in, you know, two guys who they think can possibly play if they have to. But again, the best answer for the Steelers is going to be Cortez Allen locking down that spot.
And one of them being Cinquez Golson, who they brought in. That was an interesting pick by them. Another interesting pick was Sammy Coates at wideout. The reality is he's probably going to have to fight his guts out to get some playing time. So let's go to another guy in that group. Darius Heyward Bey. In terms of skill set, you and I both know that he has some natural talent, but is it enough to fit into this offense?
You know, I think it's going to be tough for him to make the team, obviously. I think that while there were some disappointments with Darius Heyward Bey last year, I think they also were impressed with maybe his acceptance of where he is in his career and his acknowledgement of the role he has to play to collect an NFL paycheck. He played special teams last year. He did whatever he could do in practices and between Sundays to help the other guys along, to learn the offense, and to kind of play that role that basically, you know, earned him a spot on Sundays. Without being able to do that, I don't think Darius Heyward Bey would have been invited back. And I think he is going to have a difficult time making the team, but when he can play special teams, and he showed the ability to do that last year, that obviously, you know, gives the coaches that word, that phrase that they love, roster flexibility.
Right.
And I think he's going to have to show that again, that he can help out in other ways without catching passes to make the team. Because the days of him, I think, Steve, being, you know, a guy who's even going to catch 40 or 50 passes a year, those are probably past as well.
In watching preseason games the last couple of years, Steeler fans have been tremendously disappointed in Landry Jones. You're talking about the third quarterback now, but still he's the youngest one of the group. Taj Boyd has been brought in out of Clemson as a free agent in this thing. Can he push Landry Jones based on what he can do? Do you think he can push him a bit for the roster spot?
You know, I think he can, and unfortunately for both of those guys, frankly, I don't know if it's as much about Taj Boyd and his current skill set as far as an NFL quarterback, as it is about, like you said, the disappointment in Landry Jones. He just didn't make any improvement from one preseason to the next over the past year. And unless that changes significantly, I just don't know how he's going to hang on, to a roster spot. I think the thing that Boyd gives you, obviously, is if it comes down to it, you know, the guy can make plays in other ways, and that's something that Landry Jones hasn't been able to do. But I think the worst thing is that Jones just hasn't been able to duplicate, you know, his presence in the pocket. He doesn't look comfortable back there. I don't know that he doesn't know the offense. I'd like to think by now he probably does, but his comfort level just doesn't seem to be there. Again, I think that he's probably fighting for his NFL life starting tomorrow.
Baseball. The Neil Huntington, my opinion here, may not have received enough credit the last couple of years with some savvy moves before the trade deadline. I think he made another one in Aramis Ramirez. He's not a Hall of Fame player, but some pop, knows how to play third. What were your thoughts on the trade? Because they only gave up Jonathan Berrios, a former Berrios played infield here at State College. He then played outfield here at State College. Then they converted him to pitcher. So, in other words, they basically got Aramis Ramirez and did not give up what you call a lot in the deal to do it, in all seriousness. What do you think of the move?
No, I think it's a great move, without question, because, frankly, it gives them a major league third baseman, which they didn't have, 36 hours ago.
Right.
Due to those injuries to Mercer and Josh Harrison, the left side of that infield was decimated, and now they have a major league third baseman. Even if, he's not the player he was 5 years ago, obviously. He's not the player he was probably 2 years ago. But he's a legitimate major league starter, and they didn't have that. So even if he, scuffles a little bit and his numbers this year are comparable, almost identical, frankly, to Pedro Alvarez's right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he continues at that pace, that's an improvement. That gives them a legitimate third baseman. If he gets hot, which he has been, he's had a very good July. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, as you know, guys that go from a non-contender to a playoff contender, that obviously, oftentimes you'll see that light of spark under them and that battle come alive a little bit. So if that happens, that's great. And I think the other nice thing is that if Mercer and if Harrison can come back when they're supposed to, which is early September, then all of a sudden you're talking about having a bench that is kind of exciting. They're not there yet. This is a team that's played under 500 the last 10 games. They need to obviously improve the way they're playing on a day-to-day basis right now. Ramirez should help them do that. And like I said, potentially, if everybody else gets healthy, now we've got some pieces that make up a very nice-looking bench.
Are they done before July 31st?
I don't think they can be. I think they will make some other moves. I think they're desperately, if you believe what you read and if you believe what we've seen, frankly, on the surface, they don't think Pedro Alvarez is the answer at first base anymore. I think it's going to be difficult to move Pedro Alvarez before the offseason, though, and I don't know what other real options they have at first base. I don't think that you want Travis Ishikawa playing there every day. I think if he gets hot, Ishikawa can be a nice bench guy for you, like he was for the Giants last year. But I don't know that they have any other alternatives at first base besides Pedro right now. So I do think they're going to probably try to move Pedro Alvarez and try to get some kind of an answer at first base. And at the end of the day, I think another arm, maybe in the bullpen, would be nice. We've talked about a fifth starter, Steve, and the thing is, when you look at fifth starters who are available without having to give up a whole heck of a lot, their numbers aren't necessarily any better than Jeff Locke's. Jeff Locke is a 500 pitcher with a 4 ERA. And you're not going to find a fifth starter for cheap who's going to be much better than that. So unless they're willing to give up a major prospect, and I think that the injuries to their minor league pitching staff has caused them to maybe not have as much depth, and I think that's going to hurt them when they're trying to make some trades right now. So I don't see any major moves coming. I would be surprised if they could pull off a trade with Alvarez. That may have to wait till the offseason, but I do think there'll be some tinkering done, and sometimes that tinkering, if done right, can be the difference in a playoff series.
Let me throw a name out there just in a brainstorming moment. Mike Napoli.
To me, it's worth the risk. It's worth a move. Napoli's not having a great year, obviously, but you know what he brings. I think a move like that would energize the clubhouse a little bit, too, because you're bringing a known commodity in, and I don't think it would be looked upon as, we don't need him. And I think that would be the kind of a move that the clubhouse would, at the very least, embrace. And again, look at what they're getting at first base, Steve. It's not much, and the defense has been awful. They haven't had a legitimate first baseman, and this is going to sound funny, since Adam LaRoche. People lambasted LaRoche when he was in Pittsburgh, but the numbers he put up offensively were better than what we've had in Pittsburgh the last 5 or 6 years, and the defense was, markedly better. So I think Napoli would be, an interesting addition. And again, at the worst, maybe you have some pop off the bench, which they need. They desperately need.
He does three things. Number one, he can play first base, knows how to play it. Number two, brings pop. Number three, in the postseason, he performs at a high level. Three big ones.
Yeah, those are again, any team headed to the postseason wants that last one, without question. Everybody loves some pop off the bench, and that's how desperate they are for some help at first base. Because again, Steve, even if that doesn't work out great, I don't think that they're losing much. I think at the right price, that's something they have to consider. And again, that would be kind of like rolling the dice. And if it comes up big, it comes up big, and everything works out great. If not, Right. Yeah, well, you know what you're getting with Pedro.
Yeah, you do. We always know what we're getting with you. That's quality. We appreciate it very much.
Always enjoy it. Have a good weekend.
All right, Tony, thanks so much. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Next half hour, Jack Ham. Final half hour, Kevin on the virtues of blocking wide receivers 35 yards away from the play. It's an intriguing expose. Why are you watching that?
I watch everything.
Did you quit?
I watch everything.
Number one, you can't even see it on TV.
I'm not talking about it on TV. I'm talking about it in person.
Well, when you're broadcasting the game?
Yes.
Okay. Let me give you three keywords for you broadcasting the game. Okay? Uh-huh. Okay. Follow the ball.
On that note, we'll be back. We'll be back next hour.
Okay. Lock in on the ball.